What a beautifully and wonderfully worded prayer this morning. Thankful for it. Very thankful for it. This morning, if things go according to my little plan, we won't have to move around very much in the scripture. It's a little bit different of an approach for me this morning, but I want to consider with you a survey of a portion of scripture. And it gets positioned very clearly before we start. And then you'll see some beautiful structure in the Word of God. And to me, when you see the Word of God presented the way the Lord presents it to us, there are times like these, this survey of Scripture I want to share with you this morning, where it's beautifully undeniable. And the subject, of course, on my mind this morning is praise and offering God praise. And in his prayer, Brother Rich, I think, kind of captured the real essence of that. And that is, we should praise God for what he can do, like how great and mighty he is. We should praise God for his willingness to do those things, right? And then we should praise him that he has done those things, right? So what you find is praise can be forward-looking, praise can be in the moment, praise can be retrospective. And praise is very actionable. This is an action verb. We'll find some things that can passively praise him. And if that's why you were created to passively praise him, then by all means, passively praise him. I'll tell you, though, you are not created to passively praise him. Because you've been given to actively praise him, and he's given you not just something, but some things, a nature, a voice, a spirit, a wisdom, a fear, and a love of God that allows you to praise him, and Brother Michael, makes you want to praise him, and rewards you for praising him, and in praising him. And it's not like rewards you like you get to thumb your lapel, it's like, what well-spent time that was. I've said before, I've never regretted or repented any money that I gave to the church, right? I cannot say that about every dollar I've spent on anything. I have a lot of purchaser's regret, right? Purchaser's, buyer's remorse and purchaser's regret. I've wasted a lot of money, but I've never wanted any of the money that I gave to the church back. I never said, oh, I gave too much. It's always been a blessing in that. And in offering God praise, it's something for which I've never felt remorse, regret, or needed to repent. Right? I've never said, Brother Jimmy, I praised him too much last week. You know, like, what was I thinking? Right? I've never been in that place. Now, I can look back and say, I can't even remember the last time I praised God. And that can bring regret and remorse. But in this life where there's so many things that you can do that you're going to regret, wouldn't it be sweet if the Lord would provide you some things and show you some things and call you to some things? Not only that you should do, but that you can do. And that when you do them, you'll be blessed in the doing. And you'll feel like, for a moment, maybe, I'm doing that I'm supposed to do. Right? There's nothing wrong with feeling righteous. Okay? It sounds strange because there's so much about people and their self-righteousness and getting puffed up in their righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, right? But we ought not step away or shy away or ever think we should be sorry that we're righteous. Because, you know, newsflash, righteous is good. It's good to be righteous. The only thing bad you can do with being righteous and good is trying to take credit for it and thumb your lapels, right? But we can be thankful. And at the end of the day, if you can look back at a time where he said, that was right. It was right to think that. It was right to say that. It was right to do that. We should dwell on those things. Because there's enough in your vocabulary. There's enough of our self-talk of the things we didn't do right and we didn't say right and we didn't think right. And there's a blessing in the righteousness of praising God. So if you'll turn this morning to Psalm 145, and we'll start with the last portion of Psalm 145, because I think it beautifully sets up the following Psalms, which are Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. Okay? Now, Brother Doyle isn't here this morning, but if he were, he'd be getting really nervous. Right? See, think, Brother Mark can't do this. Right? That's 42 minutes. Right? And I don't know if I can or not, but that's what I mean about this being a survey of Scripture. Okay? What we'll find, and I need to stop the preamble and get into it, but Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. That is a definitive truth. Okay? Whether you like it or not, and I suggest you like it, right? It's a good thing to like. Just like righteousness, whether it's you being righteous in the Lord, or the Lord being righteous, or the Lord being righteous in you. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And I would submit to you that from this point to the end of the book of Psalms, that the psalmist David is going to ascribe glory and praise to God for his righteousness in all his ways and his holiness in all his works. And I would expect, and the reason I expect it is because I read through them already and I'm trying to put this sermon together, but I expect, unless the words change, I expect that in these remaining chapters of the book of Psalms, we are going to find a record of some ways of God and some works of God. Okay. Verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And that's another thing I think we're going to find in the following Psalms, is that the Lord has a relationship and pursues a relationship with those who call upon him, and they call upon him in truth, and they call upon him with the truth that he gives them, and they call upon him because he loves them and draws them to himself. Verse 19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. I believe that we'll find the virtue in fearing God in these next Psalms. He also will hear their cry and will save them. I think in the following Psalms, we're going to find in this envelope of praise, and I mean it's an envelope. It has a front and a back, and it's sealed up. Okay, in this envelope of praise, we're going to find that the Lord will hear the cry of those that fear him and will save them. Okay, now, to fear God is not to fear that he is going to destroy you. That's not the fear here. Because if that were the fear and he's going to save you from that fear, he would have to save you from himself, right? But that's not what God does. God doesn't save you from him. He saves you by him, right? He saves you from the things that are a threat to you. He will hear their cry and will save them. Verse 20, the Lord preserveth all them that love him. Okay. I think we'll find a preserving work and way of God. And all these things, and when you think about the works and ways of God, they fit so well together because his works are a perfect reflection of his ways. In other words, his acts reflect his attributes, right? The way he is his attributes. He is love, he's mercy, he's kindness, he's gentleness, he's meekness, right? And then his actions perfectly reflect his attributes. His works demonstrate his way. Now, that's not the case for me all the time. It's certainly not the case for me as much as I wish it were, that my acts demonstrated my attributes and that my works demonstrated my ways. Okay? And by that, I mean my good attributes and my good ways. Okay? All too often, my works demonstrate my way and my actions demonstrate my attributes, but that's the flesh part of me, right? So, in verse 18, 19, and 20, there's a beautiful triad of them that call upon the Lord, them that fear him, and them that love him. Okay. There's an interesting part that ends verse 20. It says, but all the wicked will he destroy. And this is sometimes hard for us to curate or put at peace with everything else. Okay, but in this envelope of praising God in Psalms 146 through 150, we're going to find that in the works of God, He can destroy. He can destroy the wicked, and it's in perfect concert with His way and in His divine justice. Right? He is a just God, and therefore He executeth judgment. Okay? If He weren't a just God, then His judgment would not demonstrate His attribute of justness. Okay? Similarly, if He were a just God, Brother Michael, and He never executed judgment, you could argue that He wasn't a very good judge. Right? Because think about it in a court of law. If you say, that's a good, honest judge, He's never convicted anyone. Really? All right. A good, honest judge might need to convict some people, right? A good, honest judge might need to forgive some people and exonerate some people, but having a record of never, you know, executing judgment, I would wonder if that person can tell right from wrong, right? So when we see the judgment of God, it's an expression of His justice. And as much as we see the love of God as a reflection of His love, I think we need to embrace that, okay? So we'll find that in this envelope of praise. And then we get to verse 21, which I think is the springboard from Psalm 145 right into Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. Okay? And if you haven't sensed it yet, there's five beautiful psalms about praising God. And if you haven't read them, or if you've only read them when you're reading the Bible straight through, right, I would encourage you, next time you want to read the Bible but you can't think of a place to go, there's five psalms. That could be five times that you want to read the Bible, or it could be one time and you could read them through. Okay, but as we get propelled from this beautiful foundation that the psalmist David has set forth in Psalm 145 about the Lord is righteous in all His ways, He is holy in all His works, He is nigh to them that call upon Him, He'll fulfill desire of them that fear Him, and He preserveth them that love Him. He destroy the wicked, He will destroy. What that shows is there's, again, this expression in His work of His way. And He has a way for those that call upon Him, and it is that He's nigh unto them. He has a way for them that fear Him, and that is He'll fulfill their desire. And what is their desire? To be delivered. And He'll save them from their enemy. In verse 20, the Lord preserveth all them that love Him. And certainly, the preserving work of God is a manifested act of love. Right? If you've ever seen a woman take strawberries and put them in a mason jar and preserve them, okay, that's an act of care and an investment in the strawberries and in the people who will enjoy them in the future. Right? So you don't preserve something you don't like. Okay. I wasn't a big fig fan. My grandma, we had a huge fig tree at my grandparents' house, and she put up figs all the time. And all I can say is she must have liked figs better than I did, right? Because I'm not a big fig fan to this day, even in Newton form. Okay, but to preserve something, it speaks to your love and your care for it. Okay, so He preserveth them that love Him, and we know them that love Him are those who love Him because He first loved them. Okay. Now we get to verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Okay. Now, sometimes we say things that we hope to do and we want to do. And Brother Jimmy, sometimes we do them and sometimes we don't get them done. I'm going to tell you, we have biblical scriptural record right here in Psalm 146 through Psalm 150. That the psalmist David did exactly what he aspired to do. I, with my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And we're going to find that to be true. And then he ends Psalm 145 with this. And let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. And we're going to find that theme in these next five psalms. Okay. Now, if you haven't turned, we're right here in the neighborhood of Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. And what's beautiful about this, Brother Kyle, is every one of these five psalms starts and ends with this phrase, praise ye the Lord. Okay? Psalm 146 starts and ends with praise ye the Lord. Psalm 147 starts and ends with praise ye the Lord. Psalm 148 starts and ends with praise ye the Lord. Psalm 149 starts and ends with praise ye the Lord. And Psalm 150 starts and ends with praise ye the Lord. Okay? You say, Brother Mark, enough already, right? Okay. Well, I can do this because Brother David did, right? I just said the first and last of each one, okay? But they're all here, okay? So, at the very least, what we've done is identified a beautiful theme in the Word of God, a beautiful structure of it that draws our attention to it, because that's unique. That's not accidental, right? How many times do you find five chapters in the Bible that start and end with the same phrase? I wouldn't think maybe anywhere but right here. I haven't studied it out, right? But this draws my attention when I'm flipping through, right? When I'm looking and reading and I say, oh, that sounds familiar. And then you're like, wow, every one of these starts and ends with praise ye the Lord. And all five are packaged up right here at the end of the book of Psalms. And the psalmist David is saying, my mouth will speak these things. Now, you've probably heard, and if so, you've heard correctly, that these psalms are written like hymns or songs. Okay, so these are five hymns. These are five songs that are about praise. And you probably even could step back and say, this might make one really good song with five stanzas, right? Maybe this is Praise Ye the Lord. Maybe that's the name of the song. And then Psalm 146 would be like all one verse. And Psalm 147, 148, 149, and 150. Okay, but so we see this beautiful structure, draws our attention to this. To me, it reinforces how important it must be to praise the Lord. Okay, we're also going to find there's no accidental praise here. Even passively, there's no accidental praise, because praise is the work of God. Okay? Because we cannot praise Him except He puts that within us to praise Him. If something is just made to praise God, who made it that way? God made it that way. Okay? So, and if we think about what we found in Psalm 145, some of those tenets about how righteous God is in His ways, how holy He is in His work, the relationship He has with His people, the fact that there's a calling upon Him, there's a fearing, there's a deliverance of those that cry, and then the Lord will save them, the Lord will preserve those that love Him, and the wicked will He destroy. The psalmist David said, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. So for those three verses that we just read in Psalm 145, what part of those do you think David is going to praise the Lord about? Every one of them, right? I mean, it would be really strange to say, I'd say, well, I'm ready to praise the Lord. I'm like, here's five things, and I'm going to praise Him for four of those things. That'd be kind of strange, right? So what we'd embrace is that what David is setting before us is, these are praiseworthy things to consider. Okay, and more than the things being praiseworthy, who do you think is praiseworthy? Who is worthy to be praised? Our God in heaven. So Psalm 146 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Remember we said about those who call upon the Lord and those who hope and love the Lord? Verse 6, verse 5, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Remember that preserving love and nature of God, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, the Lord raiseth them that are bowed down, the Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers, he relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Remember that part? That he can destroy the wicked and that that's praiseworthy as well? I just love the idea in this world in which we live, and when I get flipped over so much and I get turned over and dumped out, that Sister Linda, it says, the Lord, the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down, right? And he's got a way of making the upside up for the child of God, right? Verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. There's enough that that could be a sermon in and of itself. Certainly if you attach it to Psalm 145. But then you realize, hey, right there, Psalm 146 ends with praise the Lord. And then I really can't stop there when Psalm 147 says, praise ye the Lord. I think like, that wouldn't be a very good preacher, honestly, right? But I said, here's the beauty in Psalm 145, points right to Psalm 146. And I said, isn't it beautiful that Psalm 146 starts with praise ye the Lord and ends with praise ye the Lord? That's my sermon. Do you think anybody in the congregation might say, hey, Brother Mark, I noticed that next psalm starts and ends with praise ye the Lord, right? So I want us to notice that together. Psalm 147. Psalm 147 has a different structure, but it's still in this envelope. It's encased. It has that front and back what are they called? Bookends, right? Where we start this journey and we end this journey with praise ye the Lord. In other words, you could start with this exhortation, this commandment, praise the Lord, and then say, why? And everything that follows tells you why. And then after you've heard all the why, what do you do with that why? You praise the Lord. Okay? In speech delivery, that's called the what, the so what, and the now what. Okay? The what is praise ye the Lord. So what? Here's why we praise the Lord. And then you have to end that with a now what? Well, praise ye the Lord. Okay. In Psalm 147, we find this structure. And as we look, there are groups of verses. There are actually one, two, three groups of verses that are broken up as we sing this song. There's a what probably in singing vernacular would be a chorus. That tells us, again, calls us unto praising God. I'll say one thing before we get into Psalm 147, 48, 49, and 50. We're going to find some things that Primitive Baptists don't talk very much about. Okay? And I'm fine with that because, I mean, I'm not fine that we don't talk about it. I'm fine talking about them this morning. Okay? However, I will do my very best to present them in the context in which they're delivered right here. There's some things here that sound very unprimitive Baptist in the way that you would give praise to God. Like singing and dancing and banging cymbals together. Okay? Right? Now, you've heard primitive Baptists say this before, that this isn't the New Testament pattern of worship. Right? But there is a very resounding theme here in, I think it's a totalitarian view of, maybe totalitarian is not the right word, a very inclusive, universal idea that whatever you do, do it in praise to God. Okay? And I would submit to you that you could clash two pieces of metal together and they could make a sound that in and of itself might be pretty, might not be very pretty. But if you're doing it for the celebration of humanity and the pride of life, it will not sound pleasant to God. But if you were doing it to extol the praise of God, I mean, have you ever just felt like you can't say it well enough, you can't do it well, and you just, you know, when people used to shout in the congregation, right? It's just like, I don't want us to do like, I just want to bang two things together, right? I'm going to clap your hands, right? This thing, like, whatever it takes, right, to praise the Lord. Okay? But I think we'll find that these chapters, these psalms are talking about an expression of praise to God that is not the congregational worship of God. Okay, I'd also submit to you, which, you know, you've heard before, that as we look into the New Testament church, we don't find these things as implementations of the worship service. Okay, I should not, though, step away from it and say that you can't praise God with these things. Because David is saying, I'll praise God with these things. I want to praise God with these things. And Brother Jimmy, I'm gonna believe him that he praised God with these things. Is it possible you could praise God by clanging two pieces of metal together? I think you can, right? Because we know, even in a cappella singing, it's not about the sound, right? It's about using what we have to praise God, right? And it comes from the heart, right? If the heart can cause you to speak words that give God glory, honor, and praise, that's a good thing. If the heart within you makes you bang two pieces of metal together to the praise and glory of God, so be it, right? Okay, so that's my preamble, just so I don't preach myself into a corner, all right? Now, Psalm 147 is going to set up some ways and some works of God. And then intermittently, Sister Stephanie, it's going to come back to, oh, remember when you're thinking about his ways, remember when you're seeing his works, what are you going to do with that? What shall we say then to these things? We should say something to these things. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. When you see his ways, when you see his works, honor him and praise him. When he confuses you by what he does, when he frustrates you by what he doesn't do, stop and praise him. Say, I serve a bigger God than I even realized, because I thought the only way God could save would be to do this. And he hasn't done that. Therefore, since he can do it, but he hasn't done it, that must, Sister Stephanie, not be the way. Right? And that's frustrating sometimes for us to come to that place, right? We're going to read some things that we're like, I'm not so sure about that, and then come back to praise him for it, right? I will tell you this, if you're looking at what God does and why he does it, and you stop and give him praise for it, you will never, ever be wrong. You'll never be wrong for praising God for what he does. You will never be wrong for praising God for what he doesn't do. Right? You'll never be wrong for praising God for the way he answers you. You'll never be wrong for praising God when he doesn't answer you. Now, you might be wrong if you curse him for not praising you. Well, I should take the might out. You would be wrong, right? The might was you could get in this circumstance, all right? You might get in that place. Like we say in Texas, you might could do, right? You might could do that. You could find yourself in a place where you curse God and you would be wrong. Okay. So always right to praise him, always wrong to curse him. Sometimes, Brother Kyle, it feels like this is something I should curse him for, and it's not. We might even say there's times like this doesn't feel like something I should praise him for, yet we should. We should praise him. Right? Remember what Job said, even though he slay me. That doesn't sound like something you would thank God for. But I tell you, you can get to a place where if the Lord say, I'm about to take you, you'd say, take me. Mm-hmm. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Okay. So Psalm 147 says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. It looks good on you. It's the very best thing you can do. And you'll never feel bad about it. You never have to apologize for it. The Lord, and so, here's that structure I want you to see as we read through this. Verse 1 says, here's what you are to do. And then verses 2 through 6 tell us what God does. Verse 2 says, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Remember what David said he was going to do? I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him for what he does. I'm going to praise him for the things that he does for his people. And I'm going to praise him for the things he does in defense of his people. And then we get to verse 7. And we've been talking about everything that God does. And then verse 7 says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. And then more about him. Verse 8, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. Does that sound like what David said he was going to do? Like, oh, how He loves them that love Him, and how He preserves them and delivers them. In verse 12, another call to action. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. Then we're back to what God has done. For He hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. You look at those two verses, it talks about an inclusion, right? Strengthen the bars of your gates. Bless your children within you. I see the beautiful church of the living God. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. Verse 15, He sendeth forth His commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sendeth out His word and melteth them. He causeth His wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. You just see the way the Lord behaves. Praise Him for that. When you see that He treats you different than the world, praise Him for that. Praise Him that He's made you different than the world. Praise Him and thank Him for that. Praise Him for His justness and His judgment. And that it's something that we can freely, we don't even have to give it to Him because He owns it. It's something we cannot mess with. I don't have to judge the wicked. The Lord is, He's equipped, He has the jurisdiction, He has the authority, and He's the best judge that's ever been. This is not a work He's given to me to do. He exerciseth judgment. You see a God who's so great in His ways and His works. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. You know what this chapter is going to tell us? There's a lot of people supposed to be praising God, right? This is not just some thing quietly whispered in a corner. There's everywhere you look, you should be seeing things and people that ought to be praising God. Rocks should be praising God. Trees should be praising God. People should be praising God. Angels, praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Do you see the scope of praise? Do you see the jurisdiction and the boundaries of praise that praises? We get back to why praise. Why praise? Because He is good and He does good. And He manifests it in how He creates, and He manifests it in how He saves. Praise God as the Creator. And if you're a rock and you got nothing that you can do or say but just lie there, then praise God that He made you, right? You're a testament to the praise of God just by being a rock sitting there. Now, none of us are, right? But the rock can praise Him without a voice. The rock can praise Him without legs and arms and hands and feet. And praise Him because I am like I was made, right? And rocks don't believe in evolution, right? Rocks don't steal glory from God the way that men do, right? A rock doesn't say, I'm 6 billion years old. A rock says, you cut me open, you do a carbon thing, you might see a regression that would suggest I'm 6 million years old. And that's because God made me 6,000 years ago as a 6 million year old rock. Right? That's what a rock will do. A rock will just tell the truth. Right? And then men will take that truth and try to make it a lie. Okay. Praise Him. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. See why they should praise him? Now, if we stop there and just take that premise, all these things, some of them inanimate objects, this says they should praise him because he made them. Which means, if nothing else, because God made you, he deserves your praise. Right? I mean, that's baseline. That's like table stakes. You've been made. Like, he's your creator. And to the creator is owed praise and glory, honor. Verse 6, he hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons. There's dragons. It's such a thing. You know why I know it's such a thing? Because the Bible says, praise ye, dragons. Do I know what they look like? I know what people think they look like. Do they still exist? I don't know. I haven't met a dragon. But I can tell you this. The Bible says they're dragons, and dragons praise God. Okay? Praise the Lord from earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. That sounds like some stormy wind that he brings on others at times. Praise him. Praise him for his stormy wind. Remember how beautiful it is when we think about that Jesus could just speak and the wind and the wave would obey him. See, that's when it's an ornery wind. It's misbehaving and the Lord says, behave, peace, be still. We see if the wind and the wave obey him, he can take a sea of glass and make it a raging a torment. Right? He can take a cloudless day and he can bring cloud and fire from heaven. Why? It's no surprise. The wind and the wave, they obey him. If he says behave, they behave. If he says get unstill, they get unstill. The wind and the wave don't say, we kind of like where we are. They like, if he says, I'm going to bring this wind and I'm going to bring this wave, the wind and the wave have never ceased to obey him. And we live in this world where if you spend any time on the beach, you see that water coming in and crashing on the beach. And I have, since I've had the mind to think it, I've never gone to the beach where I don't think, how long has this water been crashing on this beach? And it's kind of like, as long as ever. And how long will it crash on this beach until this beach is no more? Right? And who's making that happen? Who's taking care of that? Who's sending the wind in the way? The Lord. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. You talk about they obey him. They fulfill his word. It means they hear his word, they heed his word, and they fulfill his word. When he says be still, they be still. When he says they'll bring trouble, they bring trouble. Verse 9, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. I read these things. I want to praise him. I want to praise him better than I've been praising him. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. You see what just happened? Psalm 149 just got inextricably connected to Psalm 148 in that just like the mountains and the rocks and the trees that serve God and praise because he made them, he said, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. I like that verse. He'll beautify the meek. Which, when we read that, we think he'll make the meek beautiful, right? That's certainly in the sense of that. But this word beautify means that he will declare his glory in them. Right? He'll manifest his glory in them. And if he's done that with the rocks and the rills, he's done that with the sun and the moon and the stars. Sister Stephanie, he was willing to do it with us as well. Like, I'm willing for that little one to shine and gleam. The word there to beautify is to gleam. Oh, what a sweet thought that God has made you to gleam with his glory. And I'm not talking about a gleam where your neighbor accepts Jesus and gets to go to heaven. I'm talking about a gleam where you are just seen and known. So like the song says, I am a miracle of grace. Right? You just gleam and shine as a work of God. We are his workmanship. So we give him the glory as the creator. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150 ends the book of Psalms, and it's only 6 verses, so we're going to make it, right? Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. You remember what David said I'm going to do? I'm going to praise him for the way he is, and I'm going to praise him for what he does. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. See how those two are just a flip of his ways and his works? And now it says, praise him for his works and his ways. Verse 3. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, one other thing to say here to close, I'm going to read that last verse, the last phrase of that last verse, which we've said over and over. Brother Colin, I'm going to read it differently this time. Praise ye the Lord. Right? This isn't just about praise the Lord. Because right? We could rewind and pretend that everywhere it said praise ye the Lord, it said praise the Lord. And it would still make a fine sermon, except it wouldn't be the expression of what God gave us in his word. It doesn't just say praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. This is an honor and a privilege and an obligation. What can the rock do? Rock things. What can the child of God do? Comely things like praising him. Not questioning him, doubting him, shaking an angry fist at him, and cursing him. But just embracing him, loving him, fearing him. You remember those things that we read at the beginning? Calling upon him, fearing him, and loving him. Can you do those things? Yes. Do you know how you know you can do those things? Because by the grace of God, you have done those things. I believe everybody in here has called upon the Lord, feared the Lord, and loved him. And when you did that, and when you do that, ye are praising the Lord. You're fulfilling scripture. You're fulfilling your purpose. You're leaning into your work. And you, like a rock that says, I'm a rock. This is what God's made me for. You're a child of God saying, I'm a child of God. I'm going to do what children of God are supposed to do. When I see his ways, when I see his works, when they're mystifying, when they're beautifying, when they make me tremble, I'll come to the same place. I'll revisit the same refrain, and I will praise the Lord. God bless you. Have a desire to join the church, you'll have that opportunity. We'll sing a hymn. And the one I was looking for that I couldn't find was that one that goes, praise him, heaven and earth. It's not in this book. All right. Well, it will be soon. We will add it. We'll add it to the supplement. All right? But even if we don't sing it, it's okay with me if on the way home you're whistling, singing, thinking about praise him, heaven and earth adore him. I'm going to find it and sing it. Okay? But that song makes me want to praise him, and it makes me feel good in praising him. Right? That one's not a minor tune like, oh, praise him. Yeah. It's praise him. Let heaven and earth adore him. And what a privilege it is to do so.